Mark Twain once observed that some people are troubled by those passages of Scripture that they do not understand. Mark Twain said, "But as for me, I am troubled by the passages of Scripture that I do understand." And friends, if you were listening to that lesson this morning that Doug just read from the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is indeed a troubling, troubling lesson. In fact, if you were not troubled by it, you probably were daydreaming and not really listening to it. Listen again. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your coat, do not withhold your cloak as well. Has Jesus gone out of his mind? Is he totally crazy? There's actually a little excerpt in the Gospel of Mark. I'm not making this up. In the Gospel of Mark, in the third chapter, Jesus is teaching the crowd, and his mother and his family come to bring him home. And the reason they want to bring him home is that the crowd is saying, he has gone out of his mind. Yeah, it's there. Come on, Jesus, come on back home. Take a little break. You need a rest. Don't forget to take your meds. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. What would happen if you actually did that? If you turned the other cheek, you would get whacked again. What would happen if they steal your coat and you give them your cloak as well? What would happen before you know it, your whole house would be empty? This is madness. This is crazy. Or is it? Friends, if we hear these words of Christ and we assume that Jesus is crazy, we have made the wrong assumption. It's not Jesus who's gone mad. It's the world. It's the world that is deranged. It's the world that's gone crazy. It's the world that is out of order. You know, you sometimes come up to a vending machine and you want to get a candy bar, a soda or something, and whoop, there's a sign on it. It says, out of order. It's saying this machine is not going to work. Well, I think we should get a great big out of order sign and pin it on the world, because the standards of this world are not going to work. We see it demonstrated day after day after day. The vengeance, the retribution, the hatred, the anger, the lies, the deception. It's not going to work. It leads to chaos and disintegration. The whole world is out of order. And to the extent that we go along with the standards of the world, to the extent that we are complicit, to the extent that we do not stand up and rebel against the standards of the world, then we're part of the problem and we're out of order too. And these words of Jesus challenge us in our lives. We need another big sign to put on the world, a great big sign. It's a sign that says Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. Jesus brings saving grace. He does it when he dies on the cross to save us from our sin and the sins of the whole world. But he also does it in his teaching. In his teaching, there is a saving grace. There is a power to rescue. If only we would hear and listen and follow and obey, we can be rescued from this fallen and sinful and out of order world. Jesus offers a better way, a higher, more noble standard. He calls it the kingdom of God. He's speaking of God's rule and reign, sovereignty over all things and over all people. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that that kingdom will come on earth, even as it is in heaven. And we not only pray for it to come, but we affirm that it's going to come. in its fulfillment at the end of the prayer when we say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." We're affirming that in God's good time and in God's good way, that kingly rule, that sovereignty over all things and all people is going to happen and take place. It's a kingdom where prodigals are given a banquet. It's a kingdom where tax collectors are seated at the table. It's a kingdom where crucifiers are forgiven. It's a kingdom where an adulterous woman is given a new life. Woman, where are those who condemn you? They are not here. They have gone. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. A higher way. A better way. The kingdom of God is breaking in and will take place in fulfillment. And we need to base our moral decisions on that great reality. When you're making a moral decision, don't look to the past. Don't look to when you've been hurt or slandered or put down or victimized. I'm not trying to belittle that. Those things happen. They happen to all of us. They're bad. They're terrible. But don't make your moral decisions based on that. Don't look to the past. Look to that future kingdom that is breaking in even here and now, for it will take place. Why live your life in the past when you can be part of that future, that kingdom of God, that kingdom of love and goodness and righteousness and justice that's going to prevail? Listen again to the verbs of this passage. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who abuse you. Do you hear how practical that is, how down to earth, and how positive it is? It's not negative. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't do the negative. Don't seek retribution. Don't hold a grudge. Don't try to get even. And also he's saying, don't go in a pity party. Don't play the victim. No, do the positive. Love, do good, bless, pray. It's wonderful positive virtues of the kingdom of God, that kingdom that is indeed breaking in. This is remarkably good advice because it makes great sense if you think about it. What happens when you hold a grudge? What happens when you're seeking retribution? You're tearing yourself up inside. And you know, when we're doing that, we like to rehearse, don't we? We always like to rehearse what happened. We go over it and over it and over it, just like playing an old CD that we like. And the more we go over it and rehearse it, the more upset we get. And the stomach acid begins to churn and the blood pressure soars. And of course, we can't go over it on our own. We got to share it with others. We got to enlist others on our side. We got to inflame. And we moan and groan and complain to them and play the victim. All negative stuff. And Jesus says, don't do the negative. Do the positive. Do good. Bless. Pray. Love. Even the enemy. And another verb to be added in, part of the Lord's Prayer, part of Jesus' constant teaching, forgive. Forgive. Think of that word, to give forth. Give it forth. Get it out. In a positive way, hopefully. It's been a long, long time since I studied German in high school, and I hardly remember a word of it, but I do remember the German word for forgive. Vergeben. Means the same thing. Give it forth. Give it forth. There's a family therapist named Jeff Herring. He has a wonderful analogy about this. Jeff Herring says that when you're seeking retribution, when you're holding a grudge, it's like taking poison and hoping that your enemy will die. That's not going to work. It's not the enemy that's going to die. It's you that's going to die. Forgive. Take the high road. Do the positive and not the negative. Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues from this broken, out of order world. And we can share in that. Because remember, the things of this world are not going to last forever. This world and the kingdom of this world will come to an end. Listen to these words from 1 John. He writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride in riches, this comes not from the Father, but from the world." And here's the key line, "And the world and its desires are passing away." Friends, turn to the higher road. The noble road, the road of the kingdom of God. For here is the truth. Here is the bottom line truth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah.